Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second meeting of year 2026 for the Breaking Blindness Barriers Discussion Group. Breaking Blindness Barriers is a group of people who get together to talk about strategies and tools and workarounds and things that we use to demolish those pesky barriers that present themselves to those of us who are blind and low vision and get in the way of the pursuit of a meaningful, fulfilled, productive, and fun life. My name is Julian Vargas. My website is www.techjv.com. That's www.tech, J as in John, V as in Victor.com. I can also be reached by phone at 818-794-9554 for those who don't do the email thing. I want to thank the folks at the Audio Internet Reading Service of Los Angeles, AIRS LA, for making it possible for these meetings to become a podcast, which is heard by a lot of people all throughout the world. And I'm going to be saying something about that momentarily. Meetings are always free to attend, of course. And of course, podcasts are always free to listen to. However, there are operating costs incurred with doing these things. So donations are accepted by me. And AIRS LA. For me, you can go to techjv.com and look for the link at the very bottom of the page that says donate if you wish to do so. And for AIRS LA, just go to their website and find links on how to contact them and offer them donations. Or I would say, even if you can't make a financial donation to AIRS LA, contact them and just let them know how much you appreciate this service that they provide for us. Let them know that you do listen. And that you very much appreciate what they're doing. So now we get to the announcements. And again, these are things that are primarily of interest to blind and low vision folks here in the Southern California slash Los Angeles area. iOS 26.3 now available. And there are some reports of possible bugs that affect dictation. So the AppleViz.com folks recommend that if you really rely heavily on dictation and you don't want to potentially take a chance on getting it messed up, that you maybe hold off on this update and hopefully Apple will be issuing a dot something patch that will hopefully address that meaningfully. So again, check www.appleviz.com. That's www.appleviz.com. www.appleviz.com. Also, want to mention, I just heard this on the Rich DeMuro show here on KFI. Apple's going to be having some announcements coming soon. They're calling it Special Experiences. And I don't think it's going to be in Cupertino this time. They're going to have it in different cities. But in the next few weeks, Apple is expected to announce new things, like, for example, new iPads. New lower cost Mac computers and an iPhone 17e, which is their lower end phone offering. And this is something they've been doing for a while, but this is the second year that they're going with the E models as opposed to the old SE naming. So this is, of course, based on the stuff that you find in the iPhone 17. So if you're thinking about buying any of these devices in maybe the next few weeks and you can hold off a little bit, it's recommended that you maybe wait and see what Apple announces because if nothing else, the device that you were thinking of getting may come down in price or for what you are going to pay if you bought it today for a device that's already approaching, like in the case of the 16e, a year old, you can get the newest, latest, and greatest thing. So future-proofing is not a bad thing to do. So keep that in mind if you're thinking about buying Apple stuff. Ira and Meta recently announced a partnership where it aims to bring the Ira app or the Ira service to the Meta glasses in a little bit easier of a format as compared to what we have now. So what's going to be nice is that you will no longer have to use WhatsApp as the third-party app or the bridge, if you will, to connect to an Aira agent for a video call. They're going to make it so that you can just have it on your glasses and take that one step out of the process, which is always a good thing. Amtrak and Be My Eyes are expanding their visual support service. This is a pilot program they recently launched in a few stations where you get help from Amtrak agents. And they can help you navigate in stations to and from tracks or trains or things like that. Anything that you would basically want by way of assistance at an Amtrak station from an Amtrak agent is now going to be available at 50 stations across the country. By the way, Los Angeles Union Station is one of them. And for that matter, Denver Union Station, Chicago, New York, and DC are some of the stations where now where the service is now available. And if you are a user of Be My Eyes, you just go to the list of services that you can check out in the app and connect with Amtrak. And of course, the CSUN conference, the big daddy of the tech conferences for blind, low vision, really many other disabilities. But of course, since this group focuses on blind, low vision, I tend to say that a lot. But really, a lot of different disabilities are covered here. This is kind of like the CES, if you will, of assistive technology. It's going to be happening again in Anaheim, March 9th through the 13th is the entire conference. But what we really care about is the exhibit hall, at least most of us do. And that is basically from the 11th through the 13th. So that's when you want to get down there. By the way, Access Services does go there. You can take Access Services down to the Anaheim Marriott to and from. So this makes it very easy to get to if you are not able to get a hotel room, which, yeah, they can be quite expensive. So I want to give a quick little shout out to an outfit called FeedSpot. I'm not very familiar with them, I'm going to admit, but they periodically email me to let me know that apparently this podcast, the Breaking Blindness Barriers podcast, is one of the 15 top podcasts that talk about things related to independent living. So they try to get me to go over there and make a profile on their site. I'm not sure that I want to do that because by nature, I'm not a podcaster. I'm a facilitator of a meeting that just happens to become a podcast. So I guess in a way we're all podcasters, whether we like it or not. But they keep track of these things, and they say that this podcast is listened to so much that it is among the top 15 podcasts here in the U.S. for that talk about the subject of independent living. So before we go to the smart glasses discussion, which is why we're all here. Does anybody quickly have any questions about any of the announcements I just made?
Eugenia?
Eugenia, go ahead with your question about announcements.
Yeah, about independent living, where I can find more information.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, like getting house or an apartment, and
Okay.
what kind of help can I get?
You would probably want to contact an independent living center. I would look that up in your area. This particular reference to independent living has to do with the subject of various podcasts that are out there. And we are among the top 15 most listened to podcasts that talk about things of independent living. And in a way, breaking blindness barriers, that's what we're all about, is about living more independently. So, so that's what that reference means. But for what you're looking for, look for independent living centers. I know, for example, they have one in Van Nuys, I think. There's DCRC on the west side, Disability Resources Community Center. They provide similar kinds of assistance. So that's where I would recommend you going to.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks for that question. Alrighty, so moving to the meat of the thing. Smart glasses discussion. And my aim here is to primarily help those of you who are hearing about these things, but not really sure because you don't understand them, and you want to get more information so that you can make an informed purchase. So Smart glasses really fall under the category called wearables. You may have heard that mentioned a time or two in the news, and certainly I, listening to me. Wearables are things, for example, like smartwatches, AirPods, augmented reality and virtual reality, headgear, things like that. Anything that you wear that connects to the world, if you will, and provides a service to you, is what we generally mean when we say wearable. So smart glasses absolutely fits into this category. Here we're going to focus for the purpose of this discussion on non-augmented reality or virtual reality things. This is because it really doesn't help us a whole lot. So, what makes smart glasses smart? You know, we hear smartphone, and obviously we know that smartphone means that it runs on an operating system and it connects to the internet and you can run apps and things like that. So, smart glasses are pretty much the same. They run on an operating system that lets you modify their behavior by installing applications or programs, if you will. They also have various sensors on them, so like cameras, microphones, motion detectors, things like that. And of course, they connect to the internet. And this is very important because, yeah, a lot of the work is done by internet connection. So that's, in a sense, what makes glasses be considered smart glasses. And they connect, of course, via Wi-Fi and mobile phones as well. So that's how they get their internet access, as well as Bluetooth as well, to your device that then provides internet. They work in tandem with your phone and usually a companion app to connect with you know, artificial intelligence, large language models, or AI LLMs, if you will, to provide a service. They also perform a lot of the same functions that you get out of Bluetooth devices or Bluetooth headset type devices. So if you have an earpiece, an AirPod, for example, or you know, a Bluetooth headset of some kind, which allows you to listen to the content of your phone, like music and things like that, and voiceover or the screen reader speaking. So they facilitate phone calls. Listening to audio, triggering the onboard assistant in, like, for example, your iPhone Siri. And most of them come in fashionable, you know, branded and fashionable frames and styles and things like that. They can usually be fitted with prescription lenses or tinted lenses. So, in a sense, that's sort of the general overview of smart glasses. Now, we're going to get into some more nitty-gritty here momentarily. But before I go into the comparing of different styles and different brands and things like that, I just want to open the floor here briefly. If anybody has any questions about this particular stuff, about you know, what makes smart glasses smart and things like that, and how they generally work. If you've got a question specifically about that, I'm going to open the floor. You know, again, either raise your hand or shout your name, and we'll call you.
Mary Lou.
Mary Lou, go ahead.
Okay, with the smart glasses, I need to know. So you need to have the phone, like the iPhone, with you to use them. You can't use it alone with
That's correct.
just the glasses.
You can use them without it, but you're not going to get a lot of functionality out of them because right now the app that runs on your phone is doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Okay, if you just use the glasses alone, what would your function be? Let's put it that way.
Well, I don't think you're going to get much out of it other than that you're going to talk to it and it's going to tell you, sorry, I can't help you.
Okay.
So basically, here's the bottom line, maybe I should have made this clear. These devices are not yet capable of fully operating independently. I think they're working toward that. But for example, you look at the iPhone and how long is and the Apple Watch, I'm sorry. You look at the Apple Watch and how long has that been around? And it still requires the use of a phone to do some of what it does. But I'm hoping that eventually we'll get to the day that smart glasses can meaningfully replace or at least maybe augment some of the functions that we rely on smartphones for. But at this time, you do need a smartphone and usually a companion app running in the background to make these work.
Okay, so you needed to work in tandem with the glasses.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Any other questions? Dave, go ahead. If that's
Yeah,
okay, there you go.
I'm just here now.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
and
gotcha.
that question, I have the Vanguard, and I have the original Meta Wavers too. And I found that you have to be within 30 feet or so of your phone and the glasses.
Yes, because it's
Or
using
copper,
Bluetooth.
properly.
It's using
Right. Just
Bluetooth,
wanted to mention
and
that.
that's the general range of Bluetooth.
Yeah. But in my case, it works really great. I've enjoyed them for many things. I just got to remember I have them on because I like to
Yeah.
respond to things quickly. And it's like,
Oh, yeah.
but I do travel quite a bit, and I've traveled in the car from here to Vegas and farther. I've traveled here to far Northern California. And while you're traveling and the phone's with you, it picks up everywhere on the road. You have a few dead spots, but it activates real quick.
Yeah,
So
it's
I just
amazing.
want to mention something.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah, no, thanks. I appreciate that. Thanks for that, Dave. All right. And Dave, if you can go ahead and lower your hand, I think if you hit the star nine, that should lower your hand. Okay. Well, we'll figure that out. Okay, there you go. Thanks. We got it. All right. And then I'll take one more last one again about the general overview of smart glasses, what I've just explained. Okay, hearing none, then we will mosey right on along. Just for a quick moment, I want to briefly mention a little bit about me and what I do, because some of what I do may be helpful to some of you attending here or somebody listening later on after the fact. I am a mobile access technology specialist, which means that I focus a lot on teaching and helping you to get better use out of mobile devices such as iPhones, such as smart glasses, and the like. My name again is Julian Vargas, and that's what I do. So I provide consultation. So if you have a question, like maybe you're wanting to buy something like this, but you don't know which one to get, I can give you information and help you do some research and help you make a more informed decision. I can also provide training to individuals or small groups if that would be helpful. I can also provide tech support, like if you just want to have somebody you can call to help you learn something that you got or are thinking of getting. That's a service that I provide as well. And I can even provide coaching for some of you who may be a tech trainer yourself, and maybe you want to learn how to be a little bit more effective in your teaching and your training. Or your presentations, I can provide that as well. This, by the way, is also one great way to help offset expenses for running the Breaking Blindness Barrier. So, again, if you want to learn more about my services, please feel free to go to my website, www.techjv.com, or call me at 818-794-9554. So, getting back to smart glasses, I have basically, two categories that I'm putting smart glasses in these days. And others may be doing the same as well, but this is just my version of it. You have mainstream. So, for example, things like your Meta glasses and stuff like that would be considered mainstream smart glasses. They're targeted to the general public, they're widely available in a lot of retail stores or online stores. They're not specifically designed to help people who are blind and low vision, but we could certainly get some use out of them anyway. But in general, that's not their primary focus that they were intended to serve. They are sold at normal prices, which means that no, as I say, blind tax. You pay the same price that everybody else pays for these things. They also support other mainstream services and apps, communications and such. So, social media, built-in assistants, music streaming, and the like. So yeah, that's what makes mainstream glasses. And of course, the number one example that I'm going to give here, and I'm going to talk more in depth about, are the Meta glasses. There are others, but the reason why I'm focusing on Meta is because at this time anyway, they are by far head and shoulders in the lead of other things that are out there. But there are other mainstream smart glasses out there, and for sure in the works. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. I also like that Meta has engaged a lot with the blind low vision community through the partnership with Be My Eyes. And that has led to what I think are significant additions vis-a-vis accessibility for these glasses. As I mentioned before, the Meta smart glasses absolutely require an app running in the background. In this case, the app is called Meta AI. So it has to be on in your app switcher. However, it does not have to be front and center on your screen. Your phone could be locked in your pocket or purse or wherever, but it'll still do what it needs to do as long as that Meta AI app is sitting in your app switcher. They're now on their second generation of these glasses, and though the second generation has brought noticeable improvements. These improvements have to do with cameras and especially battery life, which is very important because, as you'll soon find if you don't already know, these things are so useful and you end up using them to do so many things that you can quickly burn through a battery depending on which features that you use. They are made by two very well-known mainstream glasses makers, Ray-Ban and Oakley, which makes them fashionable and trendy. Ray-Ban itself offers several styles, the most popular being the Wayfarer frames. And Oakley offers a few themselves, HSTN and Vanguard. HSTN is very similar to the Ray-Ban Wayfarer. They look very similar and perform similarly. The Vanguard, however, is especially targeted towards sports enthusiasts and athletes, people who are out there leading a very active life and doing things that maybe they want to take video of. And under those conditions, these glasses are more specific for that. They have more of that kind of look. They're also a wraparound style of glasses, which, at least for me, I prefer that style. It also has one thing that none of the other models have, and that's an extra button that is called an action button. And what's neat about this action button is that you can have it perform all kinds of other things, including some accessibility things. Like, for example, you can have it to it automatically by pushing this one button. It connects you to a Be My Eyes agent or volunteer, I should say, Be My Eyes volunteer. Or in my case, I've programmed it to send a special request of the AI, and that is look and give me a detailed description of what's in front of me. So when I want to do that discreetly and I don't want to have to yell that out loud every time, I can just push this action button and get exactly what I'm asking for without having to open my mouth. What makes this all possible is Meta AI, which is the large language model that I referred to earlier. But one thing you got to remember about mainstream AI LLMs is that they tend to be overly cautious about the information it provides and especially about reading certain things. And this all has to do with concerns about staying within the parameters of privacy laws. So, for example, it tries to be very careful about HIPAA violations. So if you actually pick up a medication bottle and hold in front and say, "Read me this prescription label," it's going to tell you, "I can't do that. That's HIPAA information," or something to that effect. But of course, you can be creative, and we'll talk about that because you can get it to read those bottles. You just can't call it a prescription label. So, for example, I just pick up the medication bottle and say, "Read me what's on this label," or "Read me what's in front of me," read what's in front of me or what I'm looking at. And if you ask it like that, it will read you the stuff that's on there that it just told you that it wasn't allowed to read to you because you asked it by name. All kinds of things. So, you just have to be creative about how you ask it. Another example is price tags. I've noticed that if I'm browsing shelves or in a clothing store and I want to look at the price tag of something, if I say, "Hey, Meta, look and read me this price tag," it's going to say, "I'm not able to provide pricing and availability information yet." But if I hold it and I say, "Hey, Meta, look and read this tag to me," it'll read me all the text in the tag, including the price. So you just have to be willing to be creative and patient, and you can get it done. Now, there's two types of conversations that you can have with the Meta AI. There is a standard AI conversation, which the way it works is you say, "Hey, Meta, look and dot, dot, dot." So in this case, I'll say, "Look and tell me what's in front of me." And then it stops listening, and now it's reading back to me. It takes a picture, and then it's processing it, and it's describing to the best of its ability what it sees in that picture. So it's kind of like a two-way radio type of conversation. It's a one-at-a-time thing. You speak, it listens. It speaks, you listen. They also provide now a detailed description toggle that's available under the accessibility settings for Meta AI. And that's really neat because what that tells it is, okay, this is a blind person you're helping. So they really want to know a lot of nitty-gritty detail that the average mainstream user may not really care about because they're not using the glasses for that function. Now you got to remember too that AI is in its infancy, if you will. So it's still a work in progress and it does tend to, as they say, hallucinate a lot. So if it tells you something that doesn't sound quite right, don't be afraid to just ask it to verify. Are you sure about that? Or maybe just take the picture again and say, "Look and tell me what this is," and see what it tells you. Trust but verify is the name of the game when you're using AI. The other available conversation type that you can have with this is called live AI. And this is a little different because it's as if somebody were standing next to you and you're actually having a conversation with them. So instead of once you say, "Hey, Meta, start live AI," and it says live AI started, it may start out by saying, "Oh, that's a beautiful day outside there, your window. How can I help you?" And then you just ask it. You don't have to keep saying, "Hey, Meta, this is what I want to know." You just talk to it as if you're talking to a person. And it's constantly monitoring a video stream, so it's as if you were live streaming video to something. It makes it easier because, of course, you don't have to keep using that wake phrase, or you don't have to push a button to do that. Because with the Meta glasses, you have that option too. You can either listen for a wake phrase like "Hey Meta," or you can tap and hold the side panel, and that tells it to that you're trying to talk to the AI. The really cool thing is that it very recently, in an update that's just rolling out to everybody now, gained the ability to have the detailed description thing that I described earlier. It now applies to live AI conversations. So again, it takes into consideration that this is a blind person talking to it, and it knows that that means that you want to know more details than the average person does. And it works pretty well. I was actually one of the people who helped beta test that. I'm signed up with Be My Eyes and this program they have with Meta. And every so often they have us test things. And this is a really neat thing to test. And it works very well. So if you've got Meta glasses, you'll want to try this. And you may be pleasantly surprised at the level of detail that you get. It can even, on certain occasions, help you locate a specific item. This is something I beta tested a while back. And I don't know if it fully made it to everybody yet or if it's rolling out in stages. But for example, at the airport, I was able to say, start the live AI and say, "Help me find a trash can." And then I'd look around my immediate area And as I'm doing so, it's scanning around for something that looks like a trash can. And sure enough, it saw it and it told me, okay, I see a trash can 50 feet ahead of you and slightly to the right. And I was able to walk to it. And sure enough, my cane tapped the trash can and I was able to discard the trash. So really, really neat. One thing about Live AI, though, it uses up battery fast. As you can imagine, this is putting it to the full test here. It's constantly streaming a live video to the AI. And of course, it is constantly live processing everything that's coming through it in that video. And of course, having a conversation with you and giving you the information that you're asking it for. So as a result, you will blow through battery quickly. So be prepared to have your charging case nearby or some other way of charging the batteries in those glasses after a live AI session. Generally speaking, I think you can expect to maybe run that for about a half hour before the battery gets to a level that it says, I can't do it anymore until you charge. Also, AI tends to hallucinate even more with live mode because, as you can imagine, again, it's all happening live. So it's. It's a work in progress, and sometimes can be a lot of fun, some of the stuff that it tells you. So again, patience and creativity.
Julian?
Hang on a second. I'll take
Sure.
questions. I will take all this when I open up after the presentation. So another nice thing about these glasses is that they have, from very early on, provided native support to Be My Eyes, which, for those who may not know, Be My Eyes is an app that lets you connect with
Hey,
sighted
Google,
volunteers
what
all over the
time is
world.
it?
Mary Lou, can you
3:42
please
p.m.
mute yourself? You're interrupting the presentation. Okay. And again, everybody, please mute yourself and stay muted until I open up the discussion floor. So, as I was saying before, Meta has supported Be My Eyes natively for quite some time now. And the nice thing about Be My Eyes is that it connects you to a network of sighted volunteers all throughout the world. So even if you want to get sighted assistance at 3 in the morning, your time, you may not have somebody nearby your location at 3 in the morning who's available, but you may have somebody on the other side of the world where it's 3 in the afternoon. Would be more than happy to help you. So it's supportive natively, which is really nice because all you have to do is tell it, hey, Meta, be my eyes, and it connects you. And this, of course, is predicated on you connecting the Be My Eyes app through Meta. There's a process there, but once you've done it, it works flawlessly and wonderfully. Iris coming soon, as I mentioned before in the announcement. So I'm looking forward to having that option on the glasses as well. And now that Meta is opening up their platform to other third-party apps like Aira, I would only expect to see even more of these apps come to the platform, like Seeing AI and some of the other things. I would love to see Oko. Remember the app that tells you the state of traffic signals? Boy, wouldn't that be nice to have on the Meta glasses, where you could just trigger a word and have it look and tell you the state of the traffic signal. So, yeah, there's a lot of good possibilities coming with these. Also, Apple and Google are going to be entering the market soon, and that's really going to make things fun and interesting. In fact, Apple is reported to start production later this year, like toward the end of the year, with hopeful availability sometime in 2027. So that's going to be really nice because if it works the way I expect it would work, it means that you'll have support for a lot of the BLV apps that we use on the iPhone already. And it'll already be there since it's their platform. The native support will be nice. So I think it's going to be really cool. And probably when those come out, I will probably be trying those out because so far I've been happy with what I get with Meta. But it's going to be nice to have something that's part of the Apple ecosystem. And it'll be interesting to see how it works. One of the things with the Apple glasses that are reportedly being made is that it's going to have all the sensors that the Meta glasses have, plus a special lens specifically for AI stuff, where right now the lens that's used is the same lens that's used for photo taking or video taking. So I know I just threw a lot at you, and I imagine there's going to be some questions. So I want at this time open the floor for questions specifically about mainstream glasses and Meta glasses. Mary Lou, did you have a question about that?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay, all right. What I was wondering is, with the mainstream or Meta glasses, we work well for a low vision person?
Yes, I'm a low vision person and I use them quite a bit.
Because I'm not a total, but I'm just trying to figure where could I use them and how can I use them in what situation.
Well, that's something I'm going to talk about a little bit later.
Okay.
So stay tuned for that. But they are absolutely useful. I wear them each and every day for many hours a day. And I mean, I get a lot of use out of them. So they are absolutely helpful. So stay tuned for that. Does anybody else have any questions about what I just said about mainstream glasses and particularly Meta glasses?
I have a question. Couchet here.
Couchet, go ahead.
I'm wondering about the Aira. I know it's not here yet, but would that be only on the second generation, or would the first generation also be able to use the Aira app?
I have not heard details about that. However, I can't see why it wouldn't be available to both, because I think even again, if Be My Eyes can be supported with the first generation, I can't imagine why Aira couldn't be supported. I mean, as it is, Aira is somewhat supported. It just means that you have to put WhatsApp in the middle of the conversation.
Right.
So it works already. So I can't imagine that removing the WhatsApp step is going to present a problem to the first generation. So I would expect that it would work on the first generation.
Robert, with a comment.
Thank you.
And Robert, I think, has a comment. Go ahead.
So I can't say too much about it, but I can tell you that I am using the Wayfair glasses and I'm beta testing the Meta glasses, Wayfair with the Aira app. So yes, it will work on all versions of the Meta glasses.
Oh, there you go. So there you have it. Somebody who is actually doing it, and it works. So thank you very much for that, Robert. All right. Any other? And Keith Kabbalah, go ahead.
Yes, this is Keith. I keep on delaying my purchase. I plan to buy a pair of smart glasses, probably a
Okay.
Meta. But you were saying that when it comes to reading prescription bottles, I understand HIPAA. So if you say, please read to me what's on the prescription bottle, it'll tell you.
No, you have to leave the word prescription out of the request. If you say, just read me the label on this bottle, it'll read it just fine.
Okay.
So don't call it prescription, don't call it medication. Those words will trigger the HEPA. It'll trigger the HIPAA filter. There you go. You don't want to trigger you like the HEPA filter, but not the HIPAA filter. So don't use words like medication or prescription. Just say, hey, Meta, look and read me the label on this bottle. Or look and read
Okay.
me what's on this label. Something like that. Be generic.
Okay. Okay. So it comes to prompting then. Prompting.
Yes. Again, creativity and patience is the name of the game.
Okay, thank you.
And I should mention that for prescription bottle stuff, I still prefer to use things like ScriptTok, which a lot of pharmacies support, and it's a free thing, and you can even request a free ScriptTok reader, but you can also use the app on the phone, and that's my primary way of managing prescriptions. But in a pinch, and if you don't have something handy and you got the Meta glasses on, they work great. You just have to be creative.
Julian, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I have the, as I mentioned, I have the Vanguard, I have the Meta also. But what I found out is I can do, silence my phone and still have my Meta glasses on so I don't get any disruption by phone calls or anything. I can be someplace and enjoy the visibility of my glasses. So, you can use them while you're in church or somewhere. You don't want to have any phone calls, and so you still have activity with your phone, the hands-free. The other thing I like too is they now have 8 languages. You don't have to open your phone to translation. You just ask your glasses to interpret the language you want.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And
Yeah,
it's really good.
real quickly, I just want to address what you mentioned about not making your phone not be disruptive. Yeah, putting on the do not disturb mode does not affect the operation of the Meta glasses because it's not interrupting its access to the internet. Now, if you were to put your phone in airplane mode and turn off Wi-Fi as well, that would be a different story. But just putting your phone in some form of do not disturb focus type mode will not affect the operations of the Meta glasses or really any glasses that are going to use this protocol. So thanks for that. Does anybody else have any questions or comments about mainstream glasses and particularly Meta glasses? All right, I guess not. So we will mosey on along to the second category that I have for these glasses, and that's blindness specialty. And I think the name is pretty self-explanatory, but still, what this basically means is glasses that are specifically made to serve us who are blind and low vision, that is their primary focus, where the mainstream, we are not the primary focus. We just happen to be beneficiaries because we are willing to be creative, and also we are able to reach out to folks like Meta and form partnerships and collaborations. So the blindness specialty are glasses that are specifically made for blind and low vision users. And there are others out there, but the one that I'm going to focus on primarily here is going to be the EcoVision by Agiga because they are, in my opinion, again, in the lead as far as this class or category of smart glasses. Ally Solos are out there as well, but let's just say I didn't have a good experience with them. And if you want to hear a more detailed conversation about that, listen to the Breaking Blindness Barriers podcast that came out probably, I think it was in like October or November, somewhere in that range of last year. Where I touched on this and spoke at greater length and fielded questions about it. So the real short version is, in my opinion, they weren't quite ready for prime time. So they got sent back, and but they are out there, but I think they still have some work to do. Agiga, on the other hand, I think is making some good progress, and I think is going to be quite the contender once the full product comes out. One of the things I like about them is that they seem more responsive and strongly engaged with our community, where I found that the communication between us and them, meaning the folks at Ally, left a little to be desired. I think they were overwhelmed and perhaps didn't anticipate properly the amount of demand that they were that it was going to make on their staff. The Agiga glasses, or I'm calling them Agiga glasses, even though their official name is EcoVision, because it just, I don't know, it just rolls off the tongue better. Agiga glasses are still in beta, and right now they are out in the wild amongst what are called pioneers. And pioneers are people who signed up early on and bought into the glasses early, and have exercised an option that was presented to them to have early access to hardware that is still sort of being tested and refined, with the promise that when it was all said and done and the final product comes out, that they would be able to exchange that hardware for the finished product. And by the way, they are expanding the Pioneer program soon. So if you're somebody who bought into a Giga and decided initially to turn down the Pioneer, but now kind of you're hearing people talk about them and now kind of wish that you had taken Pioneer. They're expanding that again. So stay tuned for that. You may get your chance after all. The design of the frame, and I should point out that it is still evolving, but when I saw the frames last year at the CSUN conference, to me, they felt a lot like the Wayfair frames of Ray-Ban. They were very, very similar in feel. So I don't know if that's going to be what comes out at the end when the final product is released, but based on what I put my hands on and put onto my face, it had that feel to it. So it was very, very nice, very elegant looking. You know, it didn't look or feel awkward. It just looked like a normal pair of glasses. I believe they can be fitted or with prescription lenses or tinted lenses. I'm gonna have Robert talk about this here momentarily because he is one of the Giga volunteers. And while I'm just giving an overview here, he's agreed to fill in some blanks and help field some of the questions. So as I mentioned before, I tried them last year at CSUN, and I'm looking forward to going to CSUN again next month and trying them on again and see what's changed and how it feels. And of course, I'll be reporting it back to you guys because I'm certain we will have a BBB meeting to talk about CSUN stuff. So the AI in these glasses is not bound by the same restrictions or cautiousness that is found in the mainstream AIs. Because this is specifically designed for blind and low vision users, it is not afraid to read a medication label, even if you call it that. It's not afraid to read a price tag to you. It's not afraid to describe people to you. It's pretty neat. So that is the one advantage toward about using an AI that is being customized from the beginning to serve us as its primary audience. It's also reported to do much better at things like reading documents and prescription labels, because again, it's not worried about any of those restrictions. It's just there to read, and it understands that when a blind that it's serving blind people, and when a blind person holds a paper in front of it, that they that it's expected that the whole thing is going to be read, not just sections, not just summarization. Or if I hold a prescription bottle, that you're not going to give me this nonsense about I can't tell you that because of HIPAA. Just like Meta, it has both standard and Alive AI capabilities. The only difference is I think at this time there's no wake word available for the use of the Giga glasses, which means that you have to push and hold a button to or interact with the button, I should say. Because I haven't done it myself. So you have to interact with the button to facilitate that conversation. And then, of course, you can have a live AI mode that works similarly to what I described with Meta. But again, I expect that it would be even better at describing things because it doesn't have the same restrictions. So at this point, Robert, if you're available, I'd like you to take the floor and give us some information. Like I said, I just provided a brief overview. Maybe you could fill in some gaps and tell us of how it's been for you so far using them.
Sure. I was just playing with a prescription bottle in the kitchen, but I was having difficulty out with it, so I don't know if it's the lighting, or if it's a round bottle. I'm not really sure, but I'll keep playing with it. But yeah, so the Pioneer people are similar to beta testers, and there is a version of beta testers out there as well, and they have a different version of the glass than the Pioneers do. And eventually, when they've decided that the glasses are working properly and it's everything that they want them to be, there will be a new glass that is the permanent glass that's sent to all of the Pioneers, and that will be what the public will be buying. And that's supposed to have a 50% better battery than what we have now. So I'm looking forward to that. It also will have little screws on the hinges. So they feel that that will actually help the glasses stay together better. So that's with the glass itself. And so there's an action button on the right side of the glasses stem. And so that action button, you can press it once and it gives you scene detection. So I can sit here in the chair I'm in now and I'm facing my front door. And if I asked it to do the scene detection, I've had it tell me everything from there's a closet on the left, a door that is open. Has actually told me that the door is red, and has said there's a bookcase, and then there's a TV on the wall with a dining room table, and it just kept going from left to right all the way across, even to tell me that it sees a nice backyard on the right. And the reason it can do that is because these glasses, the camera is actually in a horizontal framework, meaning that. So if you think about it, the Meta glasses camera takes pictures in a vertical format, so it's actually seeing less, even though it might even have more pixels. With the horizontal framework, it's going to be able to see more things going from left to right. So that's why they went with that in the camera. So it's pretty neat. So that's scene detection. If I press the button twice, it'll give me live AI mode. And right now, with live AI mode, we're still getting quite a bit of hallucination. And so every time we report those things, the Giga company comes back with a new update. So every few days, there's another version of the firmware to download and install. So hallucinations can be anything from one day I was walking down the street and it said there was a green round object crossing the sidewalk. There was no green object. So it does things like that. The really neat one that I like is reading detection mode. And that's if you press the camera button, I mean the action button 3 times, and that will tell you. It'll put into reading mode. And if you've got something in front of you, like a piece of paper, it'll tell you if you're not lined up properly. For me, as a totally blind person, it's really hard sometimes to know if I've got the document in the view of the camera. Is it upside down? Will it read upside down? All those kinds of things. And so it will tell you, it'll say, move the document up 1 inch to your right, hold still, taking picture, and then it starts reading it. And if you want to, if you got a multi-page document, you can just press that action button once, and it'll take the picture of the next page and just keep going. There is a cloud connected to the app, and so you can save your documents if you've got some. I don't remember how big it is at the moment, but it's probably not, you're not going to want to save a book in it. And then the last one on the action button is Bluetooth. So you can actually put it into Bluetooth mode so that you can have it connected so that you can use it actually as a headset rather than some of those other functions. On your left side, you have your camera button. And basically, there's a couple of features on the button that activates the camera. You've got, if you press it once, it'll take a picture. Twice, it'll do recording, which I use quite a bit for Uber cars approaching. And then if you press it 3 times, it'll actually tell you your battery strength of glasses and your Wi-Fi connection. So it'll say battery is 50%, Wi-Fi connected to AT&T 5G, and that kind of thing. Then the other thing that I really like is the case. So remember now, this company is starting from the ground up for blind people with blind people. And so what they've done with their the first gen case did not have this, but the second gens do.
and almost everybody who's a Pioneer now has them, is the little button on the back of the case. If you double tap that, it'll beep anywhere from 1 to 4 times. And so it tells you anywhere from one being almost dead to four being completely charged on your case. So, with Meta, you put the glasses in the case. You can get it in the app, but if you're not looking at the app, you won't know. But with the glasses, you can just tap that button and know how much battery you got in your case versus the batteries on the glasses. So that's really the glasses in a nutshell. If anyone has any questions.
Well, hold on. Before we open up, I want to say a few things and point out that so that's very interesting about the different ways of connectivity, because that's definitely one big difference between it and the Meta and the overall mainstream glasses is that it's separating some stuff. I guess it's preferring a Wi-Fi connection for connecting the AI and doing things like that. And then if you want to use it as a Bluetooth headset, you got to do something to toggle it into that mode. And the thing I like is that the what you mentioned about document reading, and this again is a big difference between the mainstream versus blindness blind specialty. And that is that it's giving you guidance on aligning yourself with a document, and then taking the picture when it's really ready to get an optimal view of that document. So that's, I think, pretty darn cool. And then, of course, yeah, that accessibility with the charging case to give you audio beeps. So it's very similar to some of these power banks that you can buy through the some of the blindness specialty retailers that give you beep to let you know the state of the case's internal battery, which is very important because, yeah, as we've talked about, when you're using live AI with any of this stuff, it chews up a lot of battery. So it helps to know how much you got working with you in the case to help you decide how much or how little you should be using the live AI when you're out and about.
I will say that so there is a difference between a headset and the functions of the glasses. And so, as you said, mentioned Julian, the functions of the glasses are using Wi-Fi and the headset's using Bluetooth. However, as I found out very quickly, and I have it just set. I went in and I paired it with the Bluetooth so that I don't have to keep. Originally, I was going back and forth, so I would pair with Bluetooth and then I would leave the Bluetooth and go back to the Wi-Fi. So you can keep it on both. And it doesn't seem to run any more battery than if you were using one at a time. So I just keep them paired to the Bluetooth and I just go back and forth. So
Oh, okay.
yeah. That
Very
way I don't
good.
have to repair them every time I want to.
Yeah.
Because and that was my original comment to them, which is the other part that I love is that, if I want to receive a phone call and I'm using the glasses, I wouldn't be able to because I have to go in and pair it with Bluetooth before I could even, talk to someone on the phone call. And they said, "Oh, well, we've heard a lot about that, and so we're gonna the next firmware we had, they had changed it so that you didn't have to leave the Bluetooth if you wanted to. You could just leave it paired and go back to your app and use the glasses, so forth." So they hear people, they hear what the community wants, and they make those changes. So
Yeah, I have to say that's why I said what I said initially about them is that they are strongly engaged with the community. They are hearing the feedback, acting on the feedback, and it's great. It's great to see the result of that kind of partnership. So, good stuff. Thanks for that. So, let's see. I'm sure there's going to be questions here. So let's go ahead and open the floor to anybody who's got any questions about the blindness specialty, particularly the Agiga Echo Vision glasses. Please say your name, raise your hand, do something to let yourself be known.
Jillian?
Yeah, go ahead, Mary Lou.
Yeah, I was wondering how well does the glasses work in a shopping mall or even an outdoor mall to find restaurants or names of stores or anything? Or you're looking for a bank or anything like that?
Okay, so I'll answer this real quick, but I want to focus the questions very much on the again on blindness glasses. But
Okay.
I'll answer real quick just to say that with the Meta glasses, I found that to be very helpful. I use it all the time in that way. And Robert, what's been your experience with the Giga glasses doing stuff like that?
In these glasses, you could either do a live AI, which, I mean, tends to work most of the time, or you could do the you could call an IRA agent with the Giga glasses, which I failed to mention that with the action button, if you press that once, like I said before, and just let it go, it'll put you on a scene detection. But as soon as you hear that beep when you press the action button, it'll beep, and then you say, call Ira. It calls Ira, and you can have an agent through your glasses, and you don't have to do anything else, and you'd be walking along, and they can help navigate you to whatever restaurant or store you're looking for. So
Okay, very cool. So it sounds like both are doing that task quite well. So thanks for that. And Dave DeLatter, go ahead.
On that, I know on my Vanguards, it has a way to set up on your app in the phone for location finder. I just use my A phone, my Apple phone for my location. Just ask Siri with my glasses on, and that
Okay.
tells me where I'm at, locations. And
Yeah. So if you have a question about the blindness specialty or a Giga glasses?
yeah, I have to ask, how does that when you're walking as a and you're talking depending on your AI? I know with the Vanguard, there's a lapse in, communicating back. Is the same thing with the dedicated glasses too?
I'm not sure of your question.
Yeah, can you
Give
ask
us
it
an
while you're
exact.
walking?
Give us an example of a scenario.
You say you're tell me what's in front of me as I walk.
Oh, yeah,
I
you
can do
could
that with
be.
Vanguard. It's just, yeah. Go
So if
ahead.
you have live AI mode turned on, you can interact with it as you're walking. But I find a lot of times that I don't need to, because I'll be walking along and it'll say on your left is Joe's Bar and Grill, on your right is a sign that says DWP. In front of you is a tree branch hanging down. And as I just keep going, if I keep turning my head, kind of look left and right sometimes, and sometimes I don't even need to. But if I wanted to, I could say, I could either ask it a question about what it's telling me, or I could just press the action button and say, what is that tree? And it will come back, and if it doesn't know, it'll say, I'm sorry, I don't know. Or it might try to guess at it. So you can ask it questions as you're walking along. It's very intuitive.
Okay.
Okay. I've been doing that with the Vanguard, asking about what is the sidewalk, any brakes and all. It tells you pretty much if there is or isn't. So I didn't know how the
Yeah.
others were doing with it too.
Yeah, it does a great job, really.
So it sounds like the live AI for both categories is very similar performing, which is
Yes.
good.
Yeah. I
You
will
know, I think
say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just gonna say the thing that, which is all too new technology. It's the frustrating part about the AI and all that, even when it takes photographs, there's a delay in response.
Yes.
You ask a question, and there's a, so you gotta, you can't be too much action going on because you have to have the time to take your responses. It's a slower mode, but it's
Right.
still good.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I would not, and this will be my tip of the day is whether it's Meta, a Giga, or your phone or anything else that is a computer generated AI system, I would not rely on it for full navigation over your white cane or guide dog. And you should always be using those navigation skills that got you there in the first place. The AI is coming, it's evolving and it's wonderful, but it's still not, like you said, the latency is still quite evident. And I would, I wouldn't want to see anyone get in hurt or worse over thinking that AI is the apple pie of our life. So I'll say that. And then the battery of the Geek Glasses is it's not too bad, but these things are never going to be the greatest with batteries. And so I would find yourself a good battery pack. There's lots of them out there. There's neck battery packs. And so no matter what you have, phone, glasses, whatever, it can never hurt to have enough battery packs. So with that, Julian, unless there's other questions.
No, so thanks for that. And I just want to kind of underscore what you just said because it's so true, and I should have mentioned it myself that these glasses and these things are in no way meant to replace mobility training and or tools. They are meant to, at best, augment them to provide information that maybe you can't get as easily without them, but they're definitely not meant to augment it. You should never go out and about exploring some strange place you've never been to, especially thinking, oh, I don't need to bring my cane, I just bring my glasses. They're not there yet. These things are absolutely in their infancy. They are going to mess up like you wouldn't believe, and you have to take that into consideration. But man, when it helps, it helps. So thank you for that, Dave, for that discussion. And does anybody else have any other comments, questions, or anything about the blindness specialty, in particular the Giga glasses that were just discussed? Okay, Mary Lou, your hand is raised again. Or is it raised? I don't
Mm.
know. I hear somebody else.
I will say while she's getting, or if she's not, I guess, but I will say that, like you said earlier, they're opening up the Pioneer program again. And so, not sure when that's going to take place, but if you're wondering when it will happen and those kinds of things, they have a newsletter that you can sign up for on their website. I think it's agiga.ai, if I remember correctly. And I would sign up for that because even if you're not planning on, wanting to be a pioneer, and you just want to wait for the glasses to come out publicly and buy them, you'll get all those notifications and learn when that's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely a good idea. So look at agiga.ai. That's AGIGA.ai. And if for some reason that doesn't work, just go to Google and type in Agiga glasses, and I'm sure it'll take you right to it. And yeah, sign up. I'm on their mailing list, so I get notified when they're going to have Zoom calls. They do them every so often. And I keep meaning to go, and then my schedule,
We'll go
something
back.
changes and I can't go, but one of these days I'm going to get to one of them. But yeah, it's a good way to keep informed about them. So does anybody else have any questions or comments about blindness specialty, particularly Giga glasses? All right, hearing none, then we're going to go into the part of the conversation here where I'm basically going to explain, at least from my perspective, why I consider these things, these wearables, to be a game changer. We often hear that term game changer, and it's so overused these days because, like any other catchy phrase, it gets used for everything. But for me, game changer means that it significantly affects the way that I play the game of daily life as a blind and low vision person. So for me, these glasses definitely have affected the way I do life every day. I find that I don't reach for my iPhone nearly as much as I used to. to use an onboard tool there, because these glasses have replaced a lot of that by sheer convenience. Before I used these glasses, if I wanted to find out what a product was, I'd have to get my iPhone. I'd have to, push the button, hold it in front of my face for Face ID. Then I'd have to launch an app like Seeing AI. Then I'd have to make sure I'm on the right channel of Seeing AI to identify a product or read a barcode or short text or document reading. As you can see, it's a lot of steps. And at home, maybe it's not such a big deal, but when you're out and about, it matters a lot. So for me, that's just one of those things that if I can take some steps out of that process, that means that there's a lot less hassle and life is just a little easier. Being hands-free is essentially, at least to me, essential. It's especially helpful when you're using a white cane or a guide dog and when you're traveling, like through the airport, and you're wheeling your carry-on bag behind you. So my cane's in one hand, the bag's in the other hand, and now I can get help for my glasses, either through the AI or by making a connection to a live agent somewhere who's giving me guidance. So it just makes it much easier. As was mentioned about reading the names of stores and things like that when you're in a mall of some kind, it's nice to just stop in front of a sign or in front of an entry to something and just say, "Can you tell me what store this is?" Or read the sign to me. It's just so much easier when I don't have to take out a phone and go through the steps I just mentioned that I used to do before. It's largely replaced reliance on apps like Seeing AI and other things that I used to use for product recognition and things like that. And for spot reading, it's just much easier. I can ask the glasses to do it. I will say, though, that there are still use for other tools. So if I'm going to do a full document reading, for example, I won't rely on the glasses, although I have to say the Meta glasses have gotten a lot better lately at even reading documents. But still, I know that that is not its primary promised function. So if it's something important and I need to have it fully read and I don't want to monkey around with too many shenanigans, I use things like Seeing AI if I'm using the phone, or the Pearl camera connected to my computer via JAWS and things like that. I still use other tools. It just depends on their needs. So there's a person on a mailing list that periodically says this. It's all about tool to task. So it's good to have lots of tools available to you, and you apply them to the task that they can best help you with. So for me, a lot of daily living has been tremendously helped by my use of these smart glasses, and I'm looking forward to improvements in the future. I think it's going to be even better. It's not for everybody, but it certainly works for me. So that's in short my wrap up on this whole thing and my perspective on them. I will again open the floor for just general comments and questions and answers about all the stuff we've talked about here. If you have any questions about these glasses, any questions about when to apply certain tools to what tasks, things like that, the floor is open, and I'll take your name or your hand, whichever you raise. Let yourself be known.
Tom Lang here.
Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I had to duck out for a second. If I was interested in getting, well, I have a couple of questions actually. If I was interested in obtaining the Agiga glasses, how do I go about doing that? And,
So for that one, I would say go to Agiga's website. I think it might be agiga.ai, AGIGA.ai. Or if that doesn't work, just go to Google and type in Agiga glasses, and I'm sure it should take you right to it.
okay, and they have the pricing information there.
I imagine anything like that that they're publishing will be available on that site. And of course, if you're going to go to CSUN, which you're in the area, so hopefully you are, and you can stop by their booth.
On their website.
Great. And where what's the where is the camera on the Agiga glasses, or are there's more than one?
Now, Robert, can you answer that?
There's one camera and it's on the left. And so it does give a really good view of everything.
So yeah, it's on the left side, and as Robert mentioned earlier, the orientation of the camera is a little different, where the Meta glasses tend to take it in that portrait view. The Giga glasses seem to be taking it in landscape, which is definitely going to get you more in the picture, especially things off to the sides that might get missed by a portrait view orientation.
Oh, okay. And what about battery life on the Agigas?
Depends on what you're doing. I've gotten about an hour's worth out of it, or maybe a little less than an hour, using live AI. And I haven't made a long IRA call on it because I've been beta testing the Metas with the IRA app, so I've been using those more. So, but I would say have yourself a good battery pack nearby. They're going to make the battery 50% better in the final version. But anything that's streaming video is going to run your battery pretty quickly. So,
Oh, yeah.
it's just hard to say, what the battery life will be when they come out with the final version of the glasses, but I still think that it will behoove you to have a good battery pack.
So, one thing I'll ask, if you're not doing any kind of AI stuff, you're just basically using them more just for normal phone use, Bluetooth, conversations. Texting, things like that. How's the battery life on that and compared to, say, the Meta?
So they've just been sitting on my head for the two, mostly 2 hour, Zoom call today, and they're still roughly at about 98%.
Oh,
So,
okay. Good.
I haven't really done much. I went in the kitchen to try and read the prescription bottle, and I was playing with a couple of the features, but other than that, I haven't done too much. And so they're. The battery's pretty good that way, but once you start using the features, Live AI especially is going to drain it.
Yeah. One thing I should point out too that I think does make somewhat of a difference here is that with the Meta glasses, I think a certain amount of the heavy lifting is being done by the Meta AI app, where the Agiga, if I understand correctly, the companion app you get with that is primarily just used for setting up the glasses, for making settings changes and things like that. So it's not running AI or something like that on that app, right? That most of that heavy lifting is being done on the glasses or on the server that it connects to.
Yes, so you're right. The companion app is strictly for setting up things, getting your Wi-Fi set up. You have to do that through the app. And you cannot use Wi-Fi that requires you to log in to a website and go through that, such as an airport or a hotel. So it has to be strictly Wi-Fi that you can search, see it, and just enter your password and be done. And then basically to update the firmware, those kinds of things is all done through the app and setting up your different settings. Once you're done with that, you don't need the app for much of anything really. Just all the features are done on the glasses.
So
So,
it doesn't need to run in the background continuously
no,
like the
does
Meta app.
not.
And the update process, is that automatic or do you have to manually seek updates?
At this time, it is something you have to tell it to do, and I'm fine with that because I have all my devices that way. But I would imagine that at some point they'll have it so that you can turn that on and have it do it automatically. And one of the things that's happened to me recently was I was updating the firmware, and so it does three different updates when there's an update there. And so I went through the first one, went through the second, and at the third final update, it just died and would not wouldn't finish or anything. I called tech support and they told me what to do to fix it. And I did that, and everything was hunky dory. So I mean, I love their tech support, because if you have a problem and can't figure it out, you just call them and they'll walk you through everything.
That is so cool. Another thing that I think is cool about the Giga glasses is, if I'm not mistaken, it has a USB-C port on the glasses itself. So if you want
I'm
to plug
sorry, I
in
couldn't
to,
hear you. What was that?
yeah, you're sounding a little choppy to us here too. One of the things that I like about the Giga glasses is that, if I'm not mistaken, it has a USB-C port on the frame itself, on one of the arms.
Yes.
Yes, so if you want to plug in a battery pack, any standard off-the-shelf USB-C charging cable should suffice.
Yep. So and that is true. So there's the glasses case that you can put the glasses in, and they don't have to be charging the cable. And then of course when the battery runs out of that, you can plug them in. But the glasses do have on the right edge of the right stem, the very back of it, there's a USB-C port. And you can just plug the glasses in and charge them directly to either it's USB-C, and you can charge that to whatever battery pack or whatever you want to charge it to. So
No,
that's nice.
that
Yeah.
is nice. By the way, and I should mention, for those who have the Ray-Ban Wayfair, and I believe this would also work possibly with the Oakley HSTN, not the Vanguards, because it's a little different design frame. But you can get a cable on Amazon. I have one that I used to use with my first generation Meta Ray-Bans, and it clips on. It's kind of a weird thing because it clips in the center of the frame, but on the front side, and then you run a cable alongside the top of the glasses. It comes with a built-in little rubber thing that you slide through the arm of the glasses, so it keeps a cord in place, and then you can run that cord down into a battery pack, and that worked pretty effectively for me as well. But with the with the Vanguards, the frame's different, so that cord isn't going to fit. Plus, the camera's right smack dab in the center, so the cord would be right in the way, even if it did work. But the newer glasses definitely come with much improved battery life. It's at least twice as good as what I was getting with the first gen ones. So, does anybody else have any questions, comments about anything we've discussed here today? Please let yourself be known. Going once.
Hey,
Hey, go ahead, Tom.
getting back to the Metas, I put them on and then I tried to get into the Zoom meeting and I lost the audio going to the Meta glasses. In other words, it just went to speaker output on the phone.
Yeah, I've noticed some weird Bluetooth oddities, and some of it I think may have to do with the glasses, but some of it I think also has to do with Zoom. Zoom very recently did some changes here that I'm still rolling my way through. Like, for example, now with this headset, I'm hearing my voice in the earpiece, which I didn't used to hear before. So something's changed in the way audio is processed, and it's possible that it could be not playing nice with the Meta glasses. So
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that.
what I would do is turn them off and then turn them back on. You know, give it
Oh.
30 seconds and then turn them back on and see, let it all connect up and see if maybe that fixes it. Sometimes that's how I fix other Bluetooth oddities.
Oh, good. Okay, I'll try that.
Yeah, give that a shot. All right, anybody else, questions, comments, or anything having to do with the discussion of smart glasses from the BLV perspective?
Robert, with a quick comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Robert.
Just for Tom, another thing you might try, I find this with my Bluetooth speaker. When you walk into the Zoom, oftentimes I'm finding now that if the glasses will stop working or speaker stops working. If you go up to the top, you'll see Bluetooth. And if you tap on that, go into your Bluetooth devices, and it'll show you what is available. You may have to tap on headset or something to that effect so that the audio comes back through the glasses. So I would give that a shot.
Great. Thank you.
There you go. Yeah, thank you, Zoom, for always changing stuff on us. You make our lives adventurous and fun, I
Yes,
guess,
indeed.
to be positive. All right. Anybody else with any comments, questions, or anything on the smart glasses discussion before we wrap it up? Oh.
I'm sorry for being late because he was working.
Okay. So, okay, got that. Okay, so okay, then we'll go ahead and wrap things up. I want to thank everybody for attending and participating in today's discussion and in other breaking blindness barriers discussions. We always welcome suggestions for future topics. So again, as I've mentioned, I want to do more of these meetings throughout the year. I commit to four, but I would easily like to double that or triple it. I don't mind doing one once a month. They're fun. And if we can get some good information that helps other people out there, I'm happy to do it. So I'm open to topic suggestions, speakers you'd like to have. If you yourself want to give a presentation on something, let's talk. Let's see what we can do. Reach out to me at help@techjv.com. I want to also thank those at home who are listening to our podcast and following our activities. We hope that the information that we provide here is helpful. And, helps you to meaningfully break those blindness barriers. Once again, my name is Julian Vargas, and my website is www.techjv.com. Phone number 818-794-9554. And remember to keep on breaking those blindness or whatever other kind of barriers are getting in the way of you living a meaningful and productive life as you wish to live it. So we'll see you all next time. Stand by for the recording to end.